hearts even now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Robbie and Michelle. It's a joy to be together. If you'll open up your Bibles to John chapter 15, we're going verse by verse as a church family through the Gospel of John, and it's been a joy to do so, and we've seen it meet us in so many ways in the midst of, man, just a different life situation than we would have anticipated as we've gone through this over the last year. But how God has met us through the Gospel of John in the particular season we're going through as a country and as a world. Well, one of the things I want us to consider today is this. What does a relationship with Jesus look like? Like, what is a relationship like, just functionally, experientially, what does a relationship with Jesus look like? I remember in my early years, got saved at 18 years old, heading to college, and just considering, like, what does a relationship with Jesus look like? And watching other Christians around me, kind of like, okay, I'm learning from them, learning from the Bible. And I remember really enjoying Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I'd go, you know, every Thursday night, Fellowship of Christian Athletes was going. They had a great band, and we would sing. And man, those times when we would sing, and there was like this experience of the nearness of God. I was like, that must be it. This was great. And like, the person spoke, and I just felt the nearness of God. I would sing and feel the nearness of God. And I was like, well, that is what experience of God must feel like. But then like 7 days later, another Thursday night would happen. And I'm like, not feeling it. Where are you, God? Like 7 days ago, like not a lot has changed in the last 7 days. Had some exams and tests and stuff, but not a lot's changed. Where are you? And struggling with disappointment when I didn't feel God's presence or that stirring in my heart or whatever in the same way I did 7 days before. And really struggling up and down, searching for an experience that met those other experiences and thinking, is that how God works? Is it? Is that how God works? Should experiencing God look and feel a certain way? Or should we even experience God in that way? Do we need to just simply, steadfastly trust God? Is this just faithful plodding, void of any real feelings? Is it stoic religiosity that we're looking for? Those are deep questions for us to consider. And our passage in John chapter 15 speaks of this. It speaks of what relationship with Jesus will be like. Today's passage calls us to a lived out experience with God, but it also gives us a framework for what it will look like. So John 15, starting at verse 9, we're going to cover all the way to verse 17 today, but let's look at John 15, starting at verse 9. We're going to read to verse 11. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Let's pray. Lord, this is your word. This is the most important part of anything I say today. And Lord, I pray that we would have soft hearts toward obeying and applying and sitting under your word. Lord, speak through me, guard my mouth from error, and let us honor you today. Do things that we can't even imagine in our hearts and the questions we've had. And Lord, let us please you. Spirit, we need you to work today. Whether it's those who are in this room or those watching on the live stream, we need you desperately to work. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first point I want to think through in verses 9 through 11 is this: experiencing abiding love, experiencing abiding love. John 15 is in the context of heading to the cross. If you zoom out and look at all of John, Judas is betraying Jesus at the very moment these words are spoken to the disciples. Peter has just been told that he's going to deny Jesus before the rooster crows. And yet, in that moment, Jesus invites his disciples into a relationship with him, into abiding with him, into an experience of knowing him. He says right before this, we covered this last week, that he is the vine and they are the branches. They're to be rooted in him. There's only nourishment if you're in the vine. There's only bearing fruit if you're in the vine. And Jesus says to them, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Divine love from the Father to the Son speaks of then how Jesus loves others. And Jesus says, abide in my love. Friends, for some of us, if we get that, like if we get that, it will be a profound moment in our lives if we understand the love of the Father to the Son is the love He extends to disciples. He extends to you if you know Him as your Savior. And that He's saying, abide in my love. If you get that, if you get that Jesus loves you, that will profoundly change your life. Jesus doesn't love you because of something you've done. Jesus doesn't love you because of what you can give Him. Out of love Jesus received from the Father, He gives it to you. He has loved you. And here's what He says to do. Stay there. Stay there. Remain there. Abide there. Abide in my love. When the old Marconi, I forgot the name of it, tele something, when they're sending like telegrams, but that's not the word I'm looking for. The way they would send them is they would say a phrase and they'd say stop and da 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 stop and da 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 stop, and that's how the messages would go, da 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 stop. So you would know these phrases go together and where what phrases don't go together, and so they'd say stop, and it's kind of what Jesus is saying: abide in my love, stop. Stop. Remain. Abide in my love. As parents, I can tell when my child is struggling. You know, you can tell if you're a parent. You can tell when your kid is just, there's something off. There's something, they're struggling. They're maybe anxious. There may be something going on. There may be the words they're using and the way they're using them. Something's needed to bring them back, to help them be secured in the family, in the Lord, whatever it is. And you may need to bring them back and you may need to give them a hug, and they just need to remain there. You pray for them. You talk to them. I had this with one of my kids yesterday. Like, things were off. I need to bring them back in. Bring them back in the circle of blessing. Bring them back into honor in the Lord. That's kind of what Jesus is doing right here. Here's the love. Abide here. Remain here. Grow in intimacy here. Deepen in your love here. Remain here. Take a deep breath and abide. Here's the thing. We talked about this a little bit last week. You cannot rush abiding. Like, our culture speaks of rushing, do the next thing, know the next thing on the news, the next crisis is going on. Let's get stirred up as much as possible. Abide is what Jesus says. It's countercultural. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We are to abide in Him. But that love compels us toward a life that's lived for Christ. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So abiding love will be experienced and known and felt as we keep the commandments of Christ. As we obey, we will be more aware of Christ's love. Now, some of us, this kind of hits us wrong. It kind of, I don't know that I like this. It kind of smells like legalism. Have to obey to feel Christ's love? Well, let me just kind of ask you the question from an opposite way. Do you feel and experience Christ's love when you disobey Him? when you're hardening your heart toward Him, when you're quenching the Spirit? Well, absolutely not. Does that change God's love? No. But does it change our communion with Him? Absolutely. Remember, this is about relationship. We've got to understand we're not just having a quiet time. We're having a relationship with the Creator. We're having a relationship with God. Just like as I relate to my wife, if I'm constantly drilling her and being sarcastic and mean and harsh, then I'm like, hey, babe, let's kind of hang out. She's going to be like, really? Like, we've got some stuff we need to talk through and work through. There's some distance here. If we're constantly pushing Jesus away, rebelling against Him, and they're like, oh, please answer my prayer. Like, we're not understanding relationship. There's a deep relationship that we're invited into here. Friends, obedience isn't optional in our relationship with Christ. Obedience reveals whether we really love Christ. And here's the thing, we can get hung up here, but he says, keep my commandments. What are those commandments? Paul calls it the law of love, the law of Christ. To summarize the Ten Commandments is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So as you abide in the love of Christ, you're going to love Christ. Like, you're loving the Lord your God with everything about you. Then out of that love, you're loving your neighbor. And as you love God and love others, you'll know His love. Like, it's all about the love of God. Which leads to, which is fascinating, verse 11, leads to joy. Verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Get that. Jesus says to his disciples, my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. The goal of abiding is joy in Jesus. The goal of abiding is joy in Jesus. Josh Moody, a pastor, says this: we think of joy as, at best, a byproduct of obedience. But for Jesus, joy is the goal. Friends, Christ is in us. We're united to Christ, which means His joy is in us. If we are walking around with shoulders slumped, wallowing, we are missing an understanding of our union with Jesus Christ. My joy in you is what Jesus says. And no, Jesus is talking about His joy. Let's get this. He's talking about His joy minutes before Gethsemane, where there's tears and sorrow and pleading. Not my will, but yours be done, Father. Right before the rooster's going to crow and he sees Peter, who's just denied him three times. This is hours before the cross, where he will be tortured for humanity. And he says, my joy in you. This is deeply rooted joy in the Father that's despite present circumstances of difficulty. This is joy rooted in God Himself. Psalm 16:11 says, in His presence is fullness of joy. Nehemiah 8:10, joy of the Lord is your strength. Look at what Jesus continues to say. These things I have spoken, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Abiding in Christ, being nourished in the vine, leads to a life full of joy, a fruitful life. One of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is joy in Him. So my question is for us, does joy characterize our lives? Seriously, just stop and think about that. Does joy characterize my life? If I were to go to your coworker or your spouse or your kids and start asking them about your joy level, would they say, wow, my friend, spouse, mom, dad has such amazing childlike faith. They are lighthearted in their love. They don't take themselves too seriously. There's an amazing gratitude of the work of God around them. Their joy is contagious. Or would they pause and not want to throw you under the bus and hesitate knowing that the joy of Jesus, the joy described in this verse, of that joy that's available in abiding in Christ, is not being lived out by mom, dad, coworker, friend, spouse. Friends, we're invited into a relationship, into experience of the joy of Jesus lived out in daily life. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Last week we gave a definition of abiding in Christ by one theologian. He said it this way: abiding in Christ is a relationship of growing intimacy with Christ that deepens our love for Him and reshapes us to be like Him. Are we abiding in Christ? Are you experiencing the abiding, living life rooted in Christ's love for you, living a life of obedience, living a life experiencing the joy of Jesus? Because as we do, it changes the way we look at life's circumstances. I mean, let me just give you like one illustration of this. Just picture the story of Jesus falling asleep on the boat with the disciples. Okay, so Jesus falls asleep. There's a massive storm, waves, wind going everywhere. And here's Jesus asleep. And what do the disciples do? They go to Jesus and they're like, "Do you not care that we're dying?" But what if they trust Jesus? Circumstances are the same, but there's a trust, there's a faith. The incarnate Yahweh is in the boat with them. The one who controls and made wind and waves is in the boat. There's a trust there. How does that change the rolling waves? It turns into a roller coaster. What do people do at roller coasters? Some of us panic. I don't panic. I love roller coasters. I'm like, "Woo!" Like, can you just imagine if Peter's there and he's like, "This is awesome!" Yeah, and they're like going all over the place because there's a trust, there's a joy. The yelling at Jesus turns to laughter because Jesus has got this. He can handle this. I can trust Him. No matter what the circumstances around me are, I can be deeply rooted in the vine, in the love, in the joy of Jesus. Friends, it changes when there's a deep trust and faith and joy of Jesus. We have people in this church who have experienced awful, hard things. Some of you in this room. But you have shown the love of Jesus, the deep root of Jesus, the trust of Jesus. And you're like, "Wow, God, I don't know how you're going to use this, but you're going to use this." Friends, we've got to have that heart, that joy, that love. It changes the way we look at present circumstances. It changes the way you look at the coronavirus. It's not fear. It's like, "Wow, God, I don't know how you're going to use a massive pandemic, but you're going to do it. And I'm leaning in to trust you. I don't know how you're going to use the current racial tensions in our society, but I believe you're going to use them for your glory. So I'm stepping forward on the Bible and trusting you." It's not being naive. It's trusting. It's deeply rooted, abiding trust in Jesus. And if we have a relationship with God, we experience the abiding love of Christ, it leads to something that we don't often think through. It leads to friendship with Jesus. Second point is this: experiencing abiding friendship. Look at verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you." It's amazing that Jesus would use the word friend. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as Colossians 1 says, the one who created all things were created through Him and for Him. He holds all things together and He calls us friend. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, taking the punishment that we deserve. He rose from the dead, ascended to the Father, now rules and reigns, and he offers forgiveness of sin for his friends, eternal life for his friends, brought near into friendship, a relationship that we're never cast out, we're never distant from the love of the Father. There's a friendship. Jesus laid down his life for his friends. And friends, I really think that there's this inward pull and longing, that kind of whole God writing things on our heart, the law on our heart, that knows this is a definition of love. You just read good stories and there's a pull toward this idea of sacrificing for another. One willingly being sacrificed for another, that just pulls at our heart of like, yes, that is love. One of the greatest, or the all-time money-making movies is Avenger Endgame. Some of you guys like the Avengers, some of you guys hate the Avengers, some of you guys don't really care about the Avengers. Avengers Endgame made almost $3 billion in the box office. 100 million people saw it in theaters. Do you remember what theaters are? They're these things you went to and like they showed a movie. Like that was like way back in 2019. Like you got to go. 100 million people saw it in theaters. And what's the main part of the story? The climax of the story that the audience members are fighting back tears. You're hearing sniffles all around you. I looked over at a couple of my girls, and I'm not going to say who. They're beautiful girls, but they were ugly crying. Like sobbing, crying. I may have cried a little bit too. What's the main point? Here's spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it and want to someday, just plug your ears. Iron Man willingly dies for others to live. Iron Man willingly dies for others to live. He gives up his life for his friends. All good stories point back to the ultimate story. All good stories point back to this longing of love that we see in the cross of Jesus Christ. It's breathtaking. It's awe-inspiring. We love to see this. And the box office blows up. Because people want to see this and feel this and enter the story of love like this. And we know that love. We've experienced that love. We're invited into this love through Jesus. He calls us friends. He gave up his life for us. And friends, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you haven't entered the story of Jesus, Jesus died for all who believe in him, all who turn from their sins and trust him as Savior and King. Jesus didn't just put on a fictitious glove and snap his fingers. That's a reference to the Endgame. Jesus suffered and died on the cross, bearing the wrath that we deserve. He gave up his life for another. He gave up his life. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. Jesus is saying this moments before he's about to do that. Going to the cross. Friends, slow down and consider that. We just sang it a little while ago. There is no greater love than that. Verse 14 and 15, Jesus speaks of this friendship, that friendship with Jesus will look like fully loving him, trusting him, and obeying him. We already talked about that in verse 10. Friendship will not only be obedience out of duty like a servant, but there will be delight as a friend. A friend knows what Jesus is doing. Jesus says, quote, "All that I have heard from my Father, I have made it known to you." Jesus befriends us. But it's fascinating what he says in verse 16. We don't befriend Jesus. This isn't our initiative. This is his initiative. Verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." Josh Moody again says this. John 15:16 is worth underlining. When all the expectations of being a Christian can seem overwhelming, we do well to remember that you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may bear much fruit. get this, our choice of God is always secondary to God's choice of us. This should humble us and encourage us. Underneath our waverings are always the eternal loving arms of the Father. He chose us. He wants us. He knows us. He is always previous. What is more, the desire that we have to be fruitful and productive for Christ was first Christ's desire for us. Man, that initiative of Jesus for us to be fruitful in Him. This is friendship. And friends, this understanding of Jesus' friendship that humbles us, it also models for us the friendship we're to have with others. It's a friendship of love, and it's a friendship of forbearance and forgiveness. Moments from this teaching on friendship is when Peter denies Jesus. Like, we've got to learn a lot. For some of us, like, digging in there because we've had rough friendships might be what God wants to teach us. Spending time considering how Jesus is a friend and then how we befriend others. But he continues, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Jesus kind of returns back to the point of John 15 of this abiding, but we may miss something in this verse. I know I did as I was studying it, and then I was reading some different commentators, Leon Morris and D.A. Carson and some other guys, and they said, there's a main point in this verse, and oftentimes it's missed in verse 16 and 17, or verse 16, and it is this, the phrase, "that you should go." The fruitfulness, this abiding in Christ, leads to a "that you should go." Disciples, you're befriended that you may go befriend. You're befriended that you may love others. It is all about mission. Jesus chose his disciples, appointed them for his mission to go, bear fruit, and pray. Go on mission, bear the fruit of mission, pray in accordance with the mission, and love others into the mission. The abiding love of Jesus isn't supposed to be just kept to ourselves. It propels us to mission elsewhere. Get this, we have been befriended, so we befriend. We've been befriended by Christ, so we befriend others. Verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Verse 17 ends with this, "These things I command you, that you will love one another." So we experience friendship with God. We experience the love of God, and then we extend it. And isn't that just Christianity? Isn't that kind of like Christianity 101? Love God, love others. Vertical reconciliation leads to horizontal reconciliation. New life in Christ leads to being ambassadors for Christ. The light is shined in us, and we shine it to others. This is the Christian life. This is the experience of Christ. That is what we live out, and that is being united to Jesus, and that is what we are offered, friends. So though in college I was seeking this experience, I wanted to find that experience, what this passage says is, no, you live in this experience. There may be moments of feelings this way or that way, aware of the presence of Christ or not really aware at all. And Christ didn't move, by the way. He's there. The Spirit is in me. I'm in the vine, just as you are if you know Christ. But it's not seeking after a feeling. It's living in the experience of Christ, being united to Him. So then we can freely go to Him in repentance, going from unbelief to belief, living in the joy of His death and resurrection, obeying out of the power of Christ and loving others. And I want to end this way by asking, how is that going in your life? How is that abiding in Him going? That listening to Him going? That resting in Him going? Let me just give you a personal experience as I end, kind of a personal example. A couple weeks ago, just sitting and praying and trying to listen to the Lord, and there were two things I felt like the Lord was pressing on my heart. So this isn't for everybody. This is how the Lord's teaching me right now. And there were two things I felt like He was putting on my heart. The first is this. slow down. Slow down. And the second thing I felt like he was putting on my heart was love more. Love more. Slow down and love more. Slow down. We're in COVID. How do you need to slow down more than we're already slowing down? But slow down. Like the pace. Just slow down. Kind of what Christopher was saying today, that's kind of what God's been teaching me. That margin of like that neighbor's outside. So slow down and have a conversation. Don't rush by that. Or, you know, you're in the coffee shop or you're walking by and God wants you to slow down. And it leads to the love more. I love productivity. I love it. I love making my list and checking it twice. Just kidding. I love making my list and getting it all done. And at the end of the day being like, yes. My list is done. I accomplished all these tasks. I'm a type A personality. But it can become an idol that I like to polish and shine. And it can hurt the loving part. I can neglect people and miss moments that the Holy Spirit is leading if I'm not loving more. Slowing down, loving more. How about you? How is God calling you to abide in Him? I'm going to pray right now. You guys who are on the live stream, we're going to just spend some time in here praying. I encourage you at home, just take a moment as the live stream ends, just to not go too fast and stop and listen and abide. Maybe read over that passage in John 15 again. And let's walk in obedience to Jesus. He's the vine and we are the branches. Let's pray and let's linger. Father, I pray that we would have open hearts and open ears and open minds to be led by You. God, to not hurry off at the next thing, but abide. Abide in Your love. Let us not learn about abiding in Your love and then run off to hurry and do something else. Let us abide, remain in Your love.